News Talk 94.9 WSJM. You're listening to Our Take. Thanks for tuning in to this Tuesday edition of the show. I am the host today. My name is Andrew Green. Glad to be with you. This is the show where we have longer conversations about things in the news, things that you've heard about on WSJM News as of late. We have more in-depth conversations with the folks who are in the know or who are making things happen. And we have several guests coming up on today's program. First, we'll talk with State Representative Kim Lasada. She has proposed a change to state law. Actually, it's more like clarification to state law when it concerns a couple of river management programs, waterway management programs in the state of Michigan. We'll chat with Representative Lasada about that. We will also hear from the Michigan Secretary of State's office about senior drivers. They have put out a message to older drivers and their loved ones about things those senior drivers need to keep in mind, and maybe, you know, they should know when they need to start to think about giving up the keys. Not a pleasant thing to think about, but we'll hear from the Michigan Secretary of State's office about that today. We'll check in with Berrien County Treasurer Brett Witkowski to find out about this state program they're going to talk about tomorrow at his office. And it's a grant program. Well, it's a loan program for individuals who are struggling with their mortgages. We'll hear about that on the show. And also today we'll talk with the Van Buren District Library. They're holding a contest as they try to invent a mascot for the library over there in Van Buren County. We'll learn about that on today's program. And if you would like to weigh in on something that we discussed, just send us an email. The address is ourtake@wsjm.com. That's O-U-R-T-A-K-E at wsjm.com. Right now it's time for a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk with State Representative Kim Lasada. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take. Stick around. We'll be right back. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. You're listening to Our Take. Thanks for tuning in to this Tuesday edition of the show. I hope you're having a fine week thus far. Here we are doing this again, but have no fear. Christmas is almost here. Right now for this segment of the show, I thought we'd check in with State Representative Kim Lasada, a representative from Bainbridge Township, our representative here in this district, a Republican. She recently introduced legislation that she hopes will make it easier for Michiganders to help keep their favorite waterways clean. And this legislation aims to sort of clear up some confusion regarding who runs a couple of state programs. So I chatted with State Rep Lasada about this. Let's hear that conversation now. Okay, Representative, this legislation is designed to clear up some confusion. It's my understanding it's passed the committee. Tell us more about it.
All right. When I first started working here in Lansing, I wanted to do draft a bill that would work on cleaning up our rivers, like review the rivers. So I wanted to do adopt a river program. Mm-hmm. So we were looking into it, and it seems that at one point the DNR, the DEQ were combined and then separated and combined again and then separated once again. And really neither of them knew, they knew that there was such a program, but they didn't know who oversaw this program. Mm-hmm. And it ends up that the DNR is going to oversee this program, and it will remain with the DNR, even if the DNR is changed, it will still remain within the DNR's control.
The Adopt a River and the Adopt a Shoreline, well, it's two different programs, but they're pretty similar. What do they enable people to do?
Oh, yeah, basically, either, you know, if it's a shoreline or a river, it's about keeping, you know, our waterways clean and beautiful like they should always be. So it's just a matter of people can adopt a shoreline, they can adopt a river, you know, any type of waterway, and work on just keeping it clean.
Okay, so you can sign up for this for a river. It's just like if you adopt a highway, you can pick up litter.
Similar to that. And I guess one of the questions in committee was, you know, are you going to allow for signage? And I thought, gosh, you know, if you're kayaking down the river, do you want to see all kinds of signs? And you know, maybe at the entryway where you put in that's a possible option. But I think we need to really, you know, do things just for the sake of doing them, you know, to keep our waterways clean, our lands clean. We don't have to be recognized all the time for doing what, you know, should come natural.
Okay, so this legislation has passed committee, and presumably if it ends up being passed by the House and the Senate and gets signed by the governor, this will clarify that the Department of Natural Resources runs these waterway management programs, and there's no more confusion about whether DEQ has a role in them.
It will. And, you know, as the bill reads, it talks about state property, state land. It's not just state land. It's any area, you know, that has water that is, it can be private land, it can be it can be state land, it can be part of a community, but the DNR will oversee.
We're talking with State Representative Kim Lasada about some legislation she had about some river and waterway management programs. Also, this past month, I know you testified in Lansing about a bill that would rename part of Red Arrow Highway in the Shoreham area for a fallen Michigan State police trooper. Can you tell us more about that?
Okay, well, I was approached by the Nile State Police Post, where a trooper by the name of Robert J. Mihalik worked. Mm-hmm. And they were interested in actually naming a portion of Red Arrow Highway in honor of Trooper Mihalik.
Okay, and so when you testified about this plan, you had some of his loved ones on hand.
I had his wife, Carol, testified, his sister, Judy, and her daughter, a state trooper that worked with Trooper Mihalik. His name is Pete Rahm. And then Mihalik's partner was Willie Mays. So they were all here to testify on behalf of this bill.
So this is Red Arrow Highway between Hilltop and Glenlord Roads. It would be renamed in honor of this fallen trooper, and it's sort of become customary to do things like this.
We are seeing that, and this was important to them because, well, first of all, Trooper Mihalik seemed to really have even still to this day, a lot of support. He sounds like he was a great guy. Unfortunately, I didn't know him, but a lot of support for him, for naming this portion of Red Arrow Highway after him. And then also, interestingly enough, he grew up in Shoreham. It's his home.
Okay, so this is a state, we're talking to State Representative Kim Lasada, part of Red Arrow Highway between Glenlord and Hilltop could be renamed the Trooper Robert Mihalik Memorial Highway in honor of a state police trooper. He was shot and killed along Red Arrow Highway in 1984, I understand.
Arrested. Yeah, 1984 by someone that was thought to have taken off without paying for gas and cigarettes, which was worth $35.
Okay, that was State Representative Kim Lasada talking with me earlier this month about a plan to rename part of Red Arrow Highway. It's between Hilltop and Glenlord in honor of a state police trooper killed in 1984 when he was trying to pull someone over for stealing gas and cigarettes from a gas station. That's one of the things that she's been working on. Also this month, she had legislation that clarified some confusion regarding who runs a couple of state programs, the Adopt-A-River and the Adopt-A-Shoreline programs. Back during the Granholm administration, the DNR and the DEQ were combined, and then later on they were decombined, and then there was confusion regarding which agency runs these river cleanup programs. Representative Lasada's bill would clarify the Michigan Department of Natural Resources runs these programs, and that will not change, even if there are more agency consolidations in Michigan. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take. A couple of things to tell you about from last night. Two of our local commissions met. Both St. Joe and Benton Harbor City Commissioners met last night, and both had pretty lengthy sessions. I was at the Benton Harbor session, but meanwhile, St. Joe was also meeting. They held a forum for the public and for city commissioners to talk with the applicants for a vacancy on the St. Joe City Commission, and they were not expected to pick their new member last night, but that's what they did. They selected Lynn Todman of Lakeland, longtime St. Joe resident, to be the new St. Joseph City Commissioner. She replaces former Commissioner Chris Hugel, who moved to the township, St. Joe Township, in the fall. So he had to step down. There's 2 years left on that term. Lynn Todman, picked last night by St. Joe City Commissioners to serve in that role. She is the first African-American ever to serve on the St. Joe City Commission. So that happened last night at St. Joe City Hall. Meanwhile, across the river, Benton Harbor City Commissioners were meeting. They had a few things to talk about as well. One of them was the new Income Tax Oversight Committee. This is a body that's going to be made up of residents and non-residents who will oversee how the new income tax revenue in the city of Benton Harbor is used. There were eight individuals whose names were submitted by the mayor to be named to this committee, and they were considered last night. And there was one opponent to all eight, and it was Commissioner Juanita Henry, not because she had a problem with any of the individuals whose names were up for consideration. Her problem was the fact that the deadline for applicants to get on this tax oversight committee was December 27th. And if you looked, yesterday was the 18th. So she said they should wait until the 27th to get all the applicants in before they go and fill the board. Mayor Marcus Muhammad disagreed. He said he made his recommendations based strictly on who submitted first.
I'm not looking and picking based upon who I like, who agrees with me, who voted yes, who voted no. As they come, that's how I'm recommending.
So that was the mayor's response there. And the rest of the city commission, with the exception of Commissioner Henry, agreed. She still said they should have stuck to that December 27th date.
I cannot vote for any of these applicants because of the process, not because of the individual, but only because of the process.
So there you go. She didn't have a problem with the individuals. She just felt they should wait until the 27th when the deadline was set. But anyway, the commission has to seat this income tax oversight panel because that takes effect. The income tax takes effect January 1. So the eight people appointed to the panel last night, I've got the list right here. It was Linda Allen, Benjamin Bowers, Rob Cleveland of Cornerstone Alliance, Emma Kennard, well-known local resident, Alexander Little, Don Meeks Sr., Berrien County Commissioner, D. Jeffrey Knoll, or Jeff Knoll of Whirlpool, and Dr. Don Tynes, a well-known local doctor. They're all on the income tax committee in Benton Harbor, and also on that committee will be the mayor, Marcus Muhammad. So they got that done. That's good. They're on track to have everything ready for the new income tax to take effect. Speaking of which, last night, the city manager, Darwin Watson, said he has received all the forms needed for the tax, and he said the city is setting up a 1-800 number for anyone with questions about it once it takes effect. So we'll have that number for you once they've established that. And that's what happened last night at the Benton Harbor City Commission as they prepare for the new income tax. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take, and it's time for a break. When we come back, we will chat with the Michigan Secretary of State's office about senior drivers and what they need to be keeping in mind, and also what their loved ones need to be keeping in mind. And if you'd like to weigh in on something that we've discussed, send us an email. The address is ourtake@wsjm.com. That's O-U-R-T-A-K-E at WSJM.com. Stick around. We'll be right back.
In each community, you're not going to have everyone retiring at the same time.
Right.
So, to make them fully fund, the pensions, with the intent that everyone will retire on the same day, I don't know if it's such a great idea.
Oh, okay. Great. And, I'll watch for that, for the rest of the day and see if there's a vote. But you'll vote no if the current plan comes up?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Great. Anything else?
No, but I...
Oh, yay! Oh, yay! Oh, yay!
We are excited to announce something new to the very popular app Town Crier Wire. Introducing Video Newswire. Now, not only can you read local stories that matter to you, you can now watch the top stories happening in Southwest Michigan. Our team of reporters hit the streets with video recording equipment, so when the big news happens, they are there to ask the questions and video record the events and upload them to the app. Then you can watch and see it for yourself.
Oh, yay! Oh, yay! Oh, yay!
Video Newswire is a tab you'll find on the home screen inside the app. Click the tab and you'll see all of the video news stories available for you to watch at your convenience. This is unique to Southwest Michigan. There's nothing else like it. If you don't have the app yet, go to your mobile download store, type in Town Crier Wire, and press install. It's that easy. And again, it's free.
Oh yay, oh yay, oh yay. There's a new way to read and see your local news today. Just pick up your phone or your tablet too. Go to your store. It's easy to do.
Town Crier Wire?
Town Crier Wire.
Town Crier Wire.
News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take, Tuesday edition of the show. Thanks for tuning in. I'm the host today. My name is Andrew Green. Thanks for tuning in. Right now, I thought we would check in with the Michigan Secretary of State's office. They recently put out word as part of Older Driver Safety Awareness Week. They put out word about a website that they have set up just for older drivers in Michigan. You can go there, and they have links to driver refresher courses and other community supports for aging drivers. That's because about one in seven drivers is age 65 or older in Michigan, and that number will rise to one in five by 2025. The Michigan Secretary of State's office wants to make sure it's on top of this. It's put out some notice for senior drivers. I talked with spokesperson Fred Woodhams about this. Let's hear that conversation now. All right, Fred. So recently, the Michigan Secretary of State's office recognized Older Driver Safety Awareness Week. Tell us more about the message you wanted to get out there.
We wanted to spread the word about the resources we have online at michigan.gov/aging driver. That's one word, www.michigan.gov/aging driver. We have a lot of resources available for people who are aging themselves, and they can find information about what they need. They can find information about what they need to continue driving safely, and also when they may need to make that decision to give up the keys. So there's a lot of resources out. There's a lot of resources available for them. There's also resources for family members and loved ones of aging drivers. We offer tips about how to talk to a loved one about when it may be necessary to give up their driver's license, or how they can continue to drive safely as they age. We also have resources for medical professionals, law enforcement officials, and others in the community who often deal with aging drivers. One of the great things about modern medical science is people are living much longer nowadays, and that's certainly a wonderful thing. One aspect of that is we have a lot more aging drivers on the road than we had even a few decades ago, and that percentage is just going to keep increasing. So more and more we're finding that we want to get more information out about the we want to get more information out in Michigan communities with law enforcement, medical professionals, aging drivers themselves, and their loved ones about how to address this. Now, overall, aging drivers are very safe. Certainly, all the risk-taking that you have with drivers is when people are young and they're making poor decisions. They don't have the experience and wisdom about how to accept them. They don't have the experience and wisdom about how to assess risks when they're driving. So you don't see that with older drivers. There's lower rates of drunken driving, for example, among aging drivers. But it's a fact of life that people, as they age, don't have the reaction time that they may have had before. The vision starts to get a little bit more blurry. So that's some of the downsides of the aging, and that happens to anyone. Now, of course, medical issues can happen to anyone at any age, but it does happen to people as they age. So we want to get the word out to people as the number of aging drivers increases in Michigan.
All right, so that's Michigan Secretary of State talking to older drivers. You know, it's a difficult thing to talk about when it's time to maybe give up the keys, but it is something that people need to realistically think about occasionally.
Yeah, giving up the keys is often a very difficult decision for many people. Certainly when people were turning 16, it was a rite of passage to get that driver's license and have that independence to leave the house, go wherever you want. So it's a big change to have to give that up, but we do offer resources about how to have that very difficult conversation. On the positive side, there's many resources that we offer that people can extend their driving years and so they can continue driving very safely for many years to come. So those are some things to look at. You know, often you find with aging drivers is they already limit themselves without having to do anything. They're not going as far from home sometimes, just going to the market or to church. But in rare cases, there are examples where people are just not fully, when people just aren't being realistic in terms of their faculties and their ability to operate safely. So in those difficult cases, we do offer driver referral. People can go online and find that form, and they can submit it to the Secretary of State's office. They can do this for drivers of any age when they're concerned that a person is no longer to, they can do it for a person of any age when they're concerned that the person is not able to operate a vehicle safely. And we do review each of these that we receive. They're not anonymous, but we don't release the name of the person that filed the report to us to the extent we're able. And we do review them, and if warranted, we'll call that person in, make them take some driving tests as appropriate, or maybe they need a favorable physician statement saying that they're able to operate a vehicle safely. But so, you know, when there are cases that a person is concerned that a loved one is not able to operate a vehicle safely, we do offer a form and people can submit that. We'll review it and take a person's keys away. Well, technically, we'll be suspending their license, but, you know, we will limit and restrict a person's license, or in more severe cases, suspend the license so that person would not be able to drive. Certainly nothing we take pleasure in doing, but our responsibility is the safety of people in the roadways, whether they're pedestrians or other motorists or that motorist themselves. You know, we will suspend or restrict a license as appropriate.
Okay, so the Secretary of State's office has this website. It's michigan.gov/agingdriver. Anyone who's over 60 might want to take a gander at it. Anything you want to tell us about the site, Fred?
Other resources on the site include warning signs and self-screening tools for older drivers. And we also talk about the effect that medications have when a person's driving, some tips to be aware of if a person is taking various medications. And we do offer resources about how to find other transportation options. You know, in many cases, even taking a cab could be less expensive than owning a vehicle when you consider the amount of gas involved, vehicle and taxes, vehicle registration fees and taxes. So in some cases, taking a cab or using a bus might be a much less expensive option than owning a vehicle. So there are choices out there, even if a person may live in a somewhat rural area, depending on the county in Michigan. So those are the sorts of resources we have online. That's www.michigan.gov/agingdriver.
There you go. That website, again, is michigan.gov/agingdriver, something for everyone to think about. If you have an older individual in your life, you may want to check out that site or encourage them to do so. Secretary of State trying to spread that message this month. They're just trying to be realistic. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take. Right now, I thought I'd tell you about something happening tomorrow at the County Administration Building. Berrien County Treasurer Brett Witkowski will have a couple of guests tomorrow at the County Administration Building. They'll be in the commission chambers. But this is more of a press conference than it is a public meeting. They want to spread the word about the Step Forward program. This is a state program that can help folks out if they're struggling with their property taxes. So I chatted with Berrien County Treasurer Brett Witkowski about what's coming up tomorrow at the admin building. Let's find out what he's got planned and what they want to talk about. All right, Brett, tomorrow, 10 a.m., County Admin Building. What's happening?
A press conference with Karen McKay, who is Van Buren County's treasurer. Along with Mishta about the Step Forward program, or excuse me, Michigan Housing Development Authority executive director is coming down, and opportunity for people to hear about, if they don't know already, about the Step Forward program that we have referred a lot of people to, but this is kind of get the word out before the end of the year as the money is going to get ready to dry up here shortly.
So what is the Step Forward program?
Step Forward program is a federal program through the state that helps homeowners with their taxes in order to keep them, keep their properties. And it's only for homeowners. It has to be in your name, can't be in anybody else's name. They will only talk with the actual homeowner. So, you know, if people are struggling because of a health issue, if for some reason loss of job, things of that nature, this is a program to help people who are pretty desperate right now, who could be getting foreclosed on, as a way to keep their properties and hopefully help them get ahead.
Is this income-based, or how does someone qualify?
Well, it's all done through the state. They have a website, and they set the criteria, and that's what they'll be talking about here at the press conference.
All right, so tomorrow at the county administration building, you'll be there talking about the Step Forward program. And you say your office has referred people onto this program to get no-interest loans to deal with their property taxes?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we actually have flyers. My staff is very good about homeowners who are struggling, referring them to the PAMP. We made our own little thing that we hand out to families to help them stay ahead of the game.
Right.
You know, they're in a payment plan, things like that nature. It's, you know, it's just another way for homeowners not to lose their home, what does it come down to? I don't know where the funding comes from. Those are questions that can be asked. It's not Bering County money. I mean, it is our money. You know what I mean, though?
Right.
Not coming out of our budget type of thing.
Okay. So Wednesday.
But it's a program that is available, and I need to let people know, you know, if it's available, we encourage them to apply. We have no say whether they're approved or not. They'll just inform us that the payment's going to be made and go from there.
All right, that's Bering County Treasurer Brett Witkowski telling us what's happening tomorrow at the admin building. He'll be there with the director of the Michigan State Housing Development Authority as well as the Van Buren County Treasurer. They're talking about the Step Forward Michigan program. This is a program that enables people struggling with their property taxes to maybe get a no-interest loan here. Statewide, more than 35,000 Michigan homeowners have qualified for more than $311 million in loans since the program started in 2010. Bering County Treasurer Brett Witkowski says local folks who are having some problems could contact his office and ask all about getting in signed up for this program before the money runs out this year. They still got some money to award for 2017, but it will be all dried up soon. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take. Time for a break. When we come back, we will chat with the Van Buren District Library to find out about their mascot contest. If you'd like to weigh in on something we've discussed, send us an email. The address is ourtake@wsjm.com. ourtake at wsjm.com. Stick around. We'll be right back. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take. Thanks for tuning in to this Tuesday edition of the show. Glad to be with you. I'm the host today. My name is Andrew Green. So far in today's program, we talked with State Representative Kim Losada about a couple of things that she's worked on in Lansing as of late. We also chatted with the Michigan Secretary of State's office about senior drivers and being safe when you are an older individual behind the wheel. We also talked to Bering County Treasurer Brett Witkowski a little bit about the Step Forward program to help people who are struggling with their tax bills. He'll have an event tomorrow at the county admin building to teach people more about it. It's a press conference, really. Right now, for this segment of the show, I thought we would learn about what's happening at the Van Buren District Library. Well, there's plenty happening there. But one thing in particular that's happening is a mascot contest. They're going to hold a contest. They're asking people to submit ideas, designs for possible mascots for the Van Buren District Library. I chatted with the library's Kay McAdam about what they're doing, so let's hear that conversation now. All right, Kay, so the Van Buren District Library, you've decided that you need a mascot.
Well, yes. You know, we want to... We sit around and talk, and when you sit around with your colleagues, sometimes strange ideas just pop into your head. And we thought, since we do a number of school visits and many times we are in parades, it would be kind of nice to have a mascot that could represent the library during these things. So we thought, well, rather than we choosing a mascot, we would ask our patrons to help out.
So is this a contest for children, or can anyone enter?
Actually, anybody who wants to enter. We are hoping that Van Buren District Library patrons will enter, since they do know the library best. But anybody who has an idea about what kind of mascot Van Buren District Library could use is welcome to do so.
And you're taking submissions from anyone with a card.
Right. So if you don't have a VBDL card, it's easy to go to one of our 7 locations and get one.
So will there be a winner in this contest?
Yes, we will. We're going to accept entries between January 2nd and January 23rd. And then we will announce the winner on January 31st, and the winner will receive a $50 gift card.
All right. Any idea of how people should go about maybe coming up with their ideas for a mascot?
Well, all they have to do are 3 things when they submit an entry, is come up with a name for the mascot. you know, whether it's Daisy, Buster, Martin, or what have you. But the mascot will need a name, and we're asking that they provide a short description of the mascot or even a rough sketch if they'd like to do that. And then third, just tell us what the mascot likes best about Van Buren District Library.
So, and once you have this mascot, what's the Van Buren District Library going to use it for? Just stick it on promotional materials and...
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, at first, we do have a graphic artist on staff, and she will, once she gets the ideas and we choose the mascot, she will do a complete and final rendering of what the mascot is going to look like. And so we can use that on our social media, on graphics for summer and other types of programs and activities. And then what our goal is to find somebody who can create a costume out of that. So then we can have our mascot actually go out to the schools and be in parades and so forth.
All right, we're talking with the Van Buren District Library's Kay McAdam about their mascot contest. Anything else you'd like to add, Kay?
We do have, all you have to do is go to our website, vbdl.org. The complete rules are there. Entry forms are going to be at all the seven locations. And they can email the entries to mascot@vbdl.org.
There you go. The Van Buren District Library, library in Van Buren County with seven branches. They're looking for mascot ideas. You can enter this contest and win yourself a $50 gift card. Send your ideas to mascot@vbdl.org. They'd like some drawings. You should go to their website to get the contest rules. I personally thought maybe a bookworm would be a good mascot, and then I realized how unoriginal that is. And the fact that books don't necessarily fully describe what libraries do these days. So I'm not very good at this sort of thing, but maybe you are. If you have some ideas, you can enter this contest. Go to the Van Buren District Library's website to learn more about the mascot contest. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. That just about does it for today's edition of Our Take. One more thing to tell you about, and this concerns this Amtrak crash that happened in Washington yesterday. You probably saw the dramatic footage on TV of a train hanging over the side of a highway overpass in Washington State. Well, the Michigan Department of Transportation certainly saw this, and they're now speaking out about rail safety. That crash yesterday in Washington State of an Amtrak train. MDOT's Michael Frizzell says, despite the crash, train travel remains very safe, and that's what the Michigan Department of Transportation wants everyone to know.
We have trains that run on a daily basis safely. We have done work in Michigan to improve the track.
He notes MDOT owns the track used by Amtrak from Kalamazoo to Dearborn. He says upgrades have been made over the past few years to that track. Yesterday's crash happened during the first run of a train on a high-speed system. Three people were killed. Dozens more were injured. The Michigan Department of Transportation's Michael Frizzell says the tracks in this state, though, are tried and tested.
The Michigan Department of Transportation owns a track between Kalamazoo and Dearborn. Over the past several years, we have been upgrading the track. We have been improving grade crossings.
So despite the dramatic images to come out of Washington yesterday and the fatal crash of this Amtrak train, Michael Frizzell with MDOT says the wreck on the West Coast shouldn't deter people from taking the train here. Meanwhile, the NTSB continues to investigate what happened over there in Washington State yesterday. And, of course, that footage was on the TV all day long. CNN referred to it as breaking news like 12 hours after it happened. But that's the message from MDOT today. Don't be afraid to take Amtrak here because our tracks in Michigan certainly are well-tested and safe. News Talk 94.9 WSJM, that does it for today's edition of Our Take. Coming up on tomorrow's program, we'll learn about a parks grant that's been announced for Orinoco Township. They're getting a whole new park in Orinoco Township. We'll learn about that tomorrow with the township supervisor on the program. We'll also talk with Kinexus about some job training programs locally here that they're working on. We'll find out about that on tomorrow's program. And as always, if you'd like to weigh in on something that we discuss here on the show, just send us an email. The address is ourtake@wsjm.com. That's O-U-R-T-A-K-E at wsjm.com. Thus concludes another edition of Our Take. I've been the host today. My name is Andrew Green. Thanks for tuning in. We should be back same time, same station tomorrow. In the meantime, have a fantastic rest of your day.
Oh, yay!
Oh, yay. Oh, yay.
We are excited to announce something new to the very popular app Town Crier Wire. Introducing Video News Wire. Now, not only can you read local stories that matter to you, you can now watch the top stories happening in Southwest Michigan. Our team of reporters hit the streets with video recording equipment. So when the big news happens, they are there to ask the questions and video record the events and upload them to the app. Then you can watch and see it for yourself.
Oh, yay. Oh, yay. Oh, yay.
Video News Wire is a tab you'll find on the home screen inside the app. Click the tab and you'll see all of the video news stories available for you to watch at your convenience. This is unique to Southwest Michigan. There is nothing else like it. If you don't have the app yet, go to your mobile download store, type in Town Crier Wire, and press install. It's that easy. And again, it's free.
Oh, yay. Oh, yay. Oh, yay. There's a new way to read and see your local news today. Just pick up your phone or your tablet too. Go to your store. It's easy to do.
Town Crier Wire.
Town Crier Wire.
Town Crier Wire.